This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Yeah, buddy. It's a Thirsty Thursday. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It's Mraz, it's Bogish, it's the DA Show, it's the Summer of Love, it's everything. It's NBA opening night, it's Sports Shangri-La. What? How is it again, Bogish? Shangri-La? Is that how we did it with Mike Francesa that day?
S-H-A-N-G-R-I hyphen L-A, I believe.
Okay, say it for me. Say it for me, Bogish.
Shangri-La.
Sports Shangri-La, the scientist. That's right. That's right. The NBA starts tonight. The NHL comes back in full force for real. For real, for real on Saturday. Major League Baseball is away and cooking. We didn't shut that thing down. NFL training camps have opened. The PGA Championship is next week. NASCAR's humming along. The MLS tournament continues into its elimination stages. This is unbelievable times right now. And for all the bad, and boy, has it been real bad, 2020 has been, for the worst year ever, Bogish, for me as a sports fan, I think this is awesome. This is an unprecedented time. And I think the only positive that really for me is going to come out of 2020, other than obviously the personal stuff, like watching your kids grow up and all this other stuff, I think is the idea that we are we're going to experience one heck of a three-month run of all the sports going on at once. And I think that's pretty cool and that's pretty awesome. And we had to suffer and endure through a lot of brutal stuff and a lot of quarantining, which we still are doing, but a lot of bad TV if you're a sports fan. And here we go. There's almost too much to keep track of, which I think is a welcomed, refreshing relief. And I'm excited to get the NBA going here tonight.
Yeah, you better have caught yourself up on all those backloaded TV shows you've been meaning to watch. Your honey-do list better be done, because you could kind of check out now wall-to-wall sports for the next couple of weeks and months if everything goes in the good direction, stays healthy, stays safe, because there really is now almost too much to process. Like, something is going to have to get cut out here, which, not to twist the conversation too long, has always been my wonderment here about how when we started soccer, when we started NASCAR, what kind of bump you're going to get from being the first one back. And even for baseball, I said this, I think, even on the air to you guys about baseball when we were talking about the baseball dropping the ball by not being back on the field at the start of July to get the audience that was not overwhelmed by sports. And I said to you guys, that's all not as a defense of the idiocy that baseball went through, but to me, just what I foresaw happening, and which we may get proof of soon, is that whatever bump baseball got from being back on 4th of July weekend, as an example, all through the rest of July, us loving it, I saw fading away, going back to the normal baseball, its place in the overall world, once we had the normal other options like basketball and then eventually like football. And now, NASCAR and soccer now, which we've given a lot of love to, you know, tonight at 8 o'clock, when Sporting KC is taking on the Philadelphia Union in this quarterfinal, are you watching that, or are you watching a baseball game, or are you watching the end of Jazz Pelicans prepping for Lakers Clippers? There's a NASCAR race on Sunday where we're going to have basketball, hockey games, plus baseball. So now I want to see where those guys go in terms of their notoriety when they now again have competition.
I think it's certainly going to be interesting, and I think the easy answer is, oh, the NBA's back, so the NBA will win the ratings, and it may, but I think you're going to see a lot more remotes working. And I think specifically for the NBA, when you've already eliminated teams like Chicago and New York with the Knicks, yes, you have, you know, L.A. there, I think you're still going to have baseball markets wanting to watch baseball as well. And look, I know me, and maybe I, you know, this is the ultimate, hey, you know, look at me, look what I could do. I don't think it's that expensive to do, and I know you could do it too. The multiple screen situation, no matter how you do it, whether it's two TVs with cable boxes, no matter if it's an iPad with a cable box, a laptop with a cable box, this isn't like it was when we were growing up, and it was the idea of, you know, two things being on and having to watch. You can watch two things at once now. You absolutely can. I've mastered it with the NFL, and I will be doing it wholeheartedly through this. And it's funny, Bogues, because throughout this, obviously, you kind of just get caught in the same routine every day, right? You know, you wake up, you don't really leave your house unless it's something important. You know, things have lightened up here in New York, where now you can go out to dinner and, you know, seeing family again and close friends again, but you're not really going to big, big parties and stuff like that. I had my wife just yesterday go, hey, you know, I might have my friend over to barbecue a little bit on Friday, but it might be a little bit of a girl's thing. Do you have anything, you know, you want to do or can do? And basically I looked at it, I go, look, this ain't like me and you waiting to watch Ozark, sweetheart. Even if I don't have anything I got to do, whether it's, you know, go to my parents or hang out with a buddy, go to dinner, something like that, I go right to the basement. You guys be outside barbecue. That's not a problem with me. I got a million things I got to watch now. I'm good. Like, make whatever plans you want, because I'd rather not have to feel guilty as I'm watching every single thing in front of me, because I can't get enough of it right now.
Yeah, and here and we've mostly been patient waiting for it, and now here it is. And now, you know, the league's done a good job putting themselves in position to do it. Now it's up to the players to entertain us back on the court, the ice, whatever it may be.
So we have plenty of that to look forward to this weekend. But the NFL training camps have begun. We touched on this earlier, how many players have opted out. Damien Williams, Nate Solder, the latest to do that in the NFL. But one thing that I can't for the life of me figure out, the saga of Antonio Brown. I give this guy this much credit. For somebody who hasn't now played football in what is about to be, I guess, the second full year, if he doesn't get signed, of being out of things, and missed week 17 the year before that, I guess that was 2018. Antonio Brown, weekly, there's a story about him, which is almost remarkable. It really is. And he worked out with several players, and one team that he was linked to throughout this quarantine offseason has been the Baltimore Ravens. Why? Because he worked out a lot with Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson, obviously a young, budding superstar quarterback, as a matter of fact, and we can get to this in just a little bit, was voted number one in the top 100 players list by his peers, which, look, when Patrick Mahomes is at number four on that list, you might as well throw the whole list out, because there's nobody on Patrick Mahomes' stratosphere, with all due respect to Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson voted number one. He obviously, you know, as a league MVP, has to be feeling himself a little bit. His voice obviously carries more weight as he enters year three of his career. But Antonio Brown is a bad influence, is a guy who, with an abundance of talent, is fine. He at one point was the best receiver in the game. You can make the case that he's done enough to be a Hall of Famer. He still may have plenty in the tank, because he came out with New England last year for a game. That's right, I forgot he even played a game last year. He did come play for New England and did score a touchdown. But, look, problems always follow him. Whether it was the Steelers locker room with, you know, can't wait to go to social media during post-game stuff, whether now more serious issues such as, you know, obviously the mishandlings of the way he's treated some women in his life, I think is the most delicate way to put it, in an investigation that's been ongoing, which is no telling if he could even play if he did sign with a team. Lamar Jackson's the type of toxic guy right now that if you're a young quarterback that is really coming into his own as a league MVP and a voice, you need to kind of distance yourself from. And if everything ends up checking out with Antonio Brown and he's cleared of the bad stuff he's accused of doing, and you feel like you're an Antonio Brown away from going to the Super Bowl and that's going to be the difference, I think then we can have that conversation. But just yesterday, Bogus, by the way, Antonio Brown, who did fake retire and then unretire already last week,
Lamar Jackson, three times now in the last year, he has angrily said, "I'm not playing anymore," and then, I'm playing. I'm just kidding.
Right, and by the way, just not a guy you could trust off the field in the middle of quarantining and having to follow rules during Corona. Like, with all due respect to Antonio Brown, he hasn't shown me that that's the kind of reliable guy that's not going to come back, you know, do something stupid, end up catching Corona and spreading it to your locker room. I'm sorry, like, that's, like, the track record of Antonio Brown tells me that's the exact kind of guy that you'd worry about. But Lamar Jackson, who I think got way too much credit, oddly, because when he was working out early in this quarantine and working out with Antonio Brown, we were still really at the height of this thing. And maybe I'm blinded by this because I was in New York, where now it's calmed down while the rest of the country's really spiked, but it was bad here. People went, "Wow, look at Lamar Jackson. You know, there's no mini camps, there's no this. He's out there working. He's working hard with Antonio Brown." And I looked at Lamar Jackson and I said, what an idiot this guy is. He's thrown to a guy, he doesn't really even know Antonio Brown. He doesn't know where Antonio Brown's been. They're not really wearing masks. There's no distancing going on. And people were patting Lamar Jackson on the back while criticizing everybody else. And Lamar Jackson doesn't deserve credit here. Lamar Jackson is doing something pretty reckless with working out with Antonio Brown. But even if you don't feel that way, he said yesterday, "It was nice throwing Antonio Brown. I was hoping we would get him. I'm still hoping a little bit." What are we doing here, Bogus? What are we doing here? Like, I'm still hoping we get Antonio Brown. Lamar Jackson, as I said, I understand his voice holds more weight. Can you just stop talking about Antonio Brown? Even if you're asked about working out, would you just say, "Hey, it was good to see him. He's a great athlete. I hope he gets a chance." To pound the drum that you're still hoping publicly that you get Lamar Jackson, I mean, that you get Antonio Brown, I think is a spit in the face to your organization. It's a spit in the face to your wide receiver core. And it's something, another distraction that Harbaugh and the Ravens just don't need right now to be keep getting asked about, and he's opening that door.
If you want to pester John Harbaugh every day and the front office with texts and DMs and phone calls like, "Hey, I saw Antonio again this morning. He's looking good." Fine. Now, I would still argue that Lamar Jackson should be aware of the fact that Antonio Brown couldn't survive as a Patriot. Look at the Raider experience and say, like, even as much love and respect as he may have for their clubhouse, at least understand that Antonio Brown might not be able to live in any clubhouse, locker room, team chemistry situation that you think you have. But at the very least, the people around Lamar Jackson, I can't believe, have not whispered to Lamar Jackson, unless they haven't, he's just straight ignoring them, and just said, "Lamar, stop doing this out loud publicly. We'll talk to John. We'll talk to Eric DaCosta. We'll talk to whomever within the organization. Let's keep those things quiet and personal." You cannot keep putting your name next to this guy, because I don't think he can be trusted. Now, the truly, you know, the evil stuff, Sean, is a whole other conversation in a different stratosphere. And I said this last week, he does, Antonio Brown, he does deserve some kind of conclusion from the NFL by now. This is basically an entire year of them looking into all of these things. He should know by now if he's suspended, whether it's 2 games, 4 games, 8 games, forever. He should know what the deal is, so that his status is now certain. So if a team does want to sign him, they can sign him and not go, "Well, we don't know what your deal is and I can't sign you," and then you get suspended for 8 games and we look stupid and we wasted money on you. So he does deserve that. But all of these things put together, I don't want him on my team. I don't think he'd be there for long. Again, I might love my clubhouse, but this guy seems like our team wrecker. I don't want him, as good as he is, and maybe he's a Hall of Famer. I don't want to have that conversation either, but maybe he is all of those things, but he's not going to be on my team. Lamar Jackson can't keep saying things like this out loud. He can't leave himself open to being wrong about this in any way. He can love Antonio Brown. He can want him as a Raven. He can tell John Harbaugh every hour on the hour that they should sign him, but he has to stop with the public support, because to me, he can only lose in this scenario by putting himself next to a guy that is a wild card, to say the least.
What Lamar Jackson's accomplished already. Remember, how many stories that we do. Should Lamar Jackson work out as a wide receiver? Is he really a quarterback? All that stuff leading into the draft. He ends up getting taken after Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen. That quarterback class that everybody drooled over, and it's so clear right now that Lamar Jackson was the best quarterback of the group, and he got put in the perfect situation with Greg Roman in that offense with the Baltimore Ravens. They built the team around him. He's now matured into a league MVP just 2 years into his career. He, I don't think I'm understating this, by dying on the Antonio Brown hill publicly, as you said, you want to talk to your coach and general manager and have nobody know about it and say you really like him, you think he'd be a good fit, I think that's differently. By publicly pounding his chest for Antonio Brown, who has been a locker room cancer and maybe an off-the-field real bad guy in the midst of a pandemic where you're so worried about everything else with your team, socially distancing, not having any preseason games, you have enough distractions ahead of yourself in the 2020 season to publicly pound the drum for Antonio Brown once camp is starting. I think Lamar Jackson is completely, maybe I'm overreacting, I don't think I am, unraveling maturity as a franchise quarterback and proving that maybe he feels like his voice should be heard more and this is what he wants his voice to say. But in reality, this is not the way to go about it in a public setting, and I think the fears of Lamar Jackson maybe being able to maturely handle the role of a franchise quarterback are peaking right now with this Antonio Brown stuff. He still has all the talent in the world, and I think he's had his head on the shoulders right, and he said a lot of the right things about getting better and winning playoff games and focusing on, you know, wanting to be the best, not worry about the money Patrick Mahomes got because he wants to worry about the trophies Patrick Mahomes got. We've heard a lot of mature things from Lamar Jackson, but Antonio Brown is that toxic that when you make these proclamations about you're still hoping he lands with the Ravens and undercutting your general manager and your head coach and everything that comes with it, to me, I think you undo all of that good, and this is a toxic person Lamar Jackson attaching himself to for no good reason. This isn't a 6-10 team that you suddenly think this is your chance to make the playoffs. No, you were a top seed that, okay, you lost, things didn't go your way. You're not that far away from a Super Bowl, and I understand why that would be the argument you'd want Antonio Brown, but you should have the guys in that locker room that you don't need that boom or bust combustible situation brought in that room.
Yeah, I hadn't thought long-term or bigger picture, I guess, about this in terms of Lamar's leadership, or this is the first of maybe other times where he may now kind of speak out against the organization or ruffle the wrong feathers. To me, this is just, and teams are guilty of this too, and I'll say the same thing about a team that wants to sign Antonio Brown. We know that these groups and the players individually have soft spots for talent. I mean, that's just, it's the thing they care about most. Everything else can be dismissed, overlooked, ignored, right or wrong. If a guy can play, someone's going to want him to be their teammate or be on their team and try and win them football games. So to me, that's where this comes from, where Lamar Jackson just sees Antonio Brown being amazing and wants to throw passes to him, which in a vacuum is fine, but it's not in a vacuum. There's a million other things in play, some of them very serious, some of them other things are not that serious, and that's where, in this particular situation, I just need more from Lamar Jackson. I didn't even get as far as like it being disrespectful, so to speak, to the organization, because they've made the decision up until now not to bring Antonio Brown in. I'm just looking at it as the protect Lamar Jackson brand argument. Yeah. Where I can't be on Team Antonio Brown right now, because I'm certainly not qualified. Other people are. They've done it from afar, but people who know these things seem to think that Antonio Brown has a legitimate, like, diagnosable issue or two that needs to be straightened out, that appears to not have been straightened out based on, again, his third unretire reversal in 36, 48 hours. So he still seems to be way too wound up and easily to fly off the handle and do rash things, which is, again, why he's not worth it still at this point to me, and I can't believe Lamar Jackson continues to attach himself. And we said the same thing, by the way, with Tom Brady. I couldn't believe that Tom Brady kept talking up Antonio Brown for this sheer reason of he could be a really bad guy who has done horrible things off the field that you don't need to stand next to. Tom Brady doesn't need publicly to stand next to Antonio Brown. He did it. I didn't like it then, and I don't like the fact that Lamar Jackson keeps doing it.
Well, the only difference I'll give you with Tom Brady is this. Number one, he at least got to play with Antonio Brown, felt he had the chemistry with him, and maybe felt that he could kind of keep Antonio Brown under wraps. I look at Lamar Jackson as a little different. I look at Lamar Jackson as a kid who was in high school and then college when Antonio Brown was shining in the NFL, and I think maybe is a little starstruck by Antonio Brown, and therefore, you know, a little easily manipulated by Antonio Brown more than a Tom Brady was. That's just me, but that's the way I would look at it and not compare those two. Bogus, when we come back, though, we have another update from you, and is the ACC letting Notre Dame off the hook? We discuss next as Notre Dame gets a little chance to play in an ACC title game if there is college football. It's Bogus, it's Mraz, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. It's Mraz and Bogus on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bogues, we do have a couple tweets, and if you didn't see our poll question, it is basically, would you buy team shorts? Now I'm forgetting the exact wording of the poll question, because Bogus is doing that for the NBA, and Bogus rocking those team shorts. He went upstairs and he whooped out hockey shorts. He's something else. And we had Sean tweet in, live look at Andrew Bogus, well, on the Utah Jazz team website, on the NBA bubble. It's just a big smiling gif. We also had Alien OG tweet in, this might be the one and only time I agree with Mraz. The bagel seasoning is amazing. Plus, when it runs out, it makes a great jar to stash my super dank nugs of the devil's lettuce. So there you go. Bogus, a double use out of the everything but the bagel seasoning. I look at it as a dietary supplement. Alien OG looks as a perfect canister for, I guess, his marijuana. So that is.
Oh, is that what that meant?
I'm hoping that he's in one of these states where it's legal, and I just read that, so that's what I'm going to assume. Yes, very dank. So there we go.
He kept the GPS notes off his tweets. We don't know exactly where he's tweeting from to know if he's breaking any rules by having devil's lettuce in his empty everything but the bagel canister.
We also had Daniel tweeting, because I mentioned earlier that the Nets are likely to use a picture I put up of my daughter in early June for their segment called Where Brooklyn At upon the NBA return. And I asked, boy, did I pull a Schwartz move with my kid. Daniel tweets in, not a Pete move. The Nets asked for submissions. No one expects a response. Sean did not beg for free stuff. So there you go. Another vote in my corner that I am not the same in begging for free things for my kids. And again, your tweets at Andrew Bogish, at Mraz CBS. Bogey, I want to get into this Notre Dame story in just a sec, but why don't we start it off with your update here?
Sure, it's sponsored by Ace Hardware. This Saturday only, you can pick up a free sample of Benjamin Moore at your local Ace. Offer valid August 1st for Ace Rewards members, limit one, at participating stores while supplies last. The Dodgers didn't throw at any more Astros last night. The Astros didn't respond to Joe Kelly throwing over Alex Bregman's head or taunting Carlos Correa. The only shots fired appear to have come from the Dodger TV broadcast.
Strike three call. Perhaps guessing something else. Two up.
Guessing's harder than knowing.
And that's Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser with the not-too-veiled shot at sign-stealing after Jose Altuve went down looking. As for Tuesday, Kelly was suspended 8 games. Dodger manager Dave Roberts got one. He served that last night, but Kelly's appealing. He remains active for now. As for the game last night, it's the longest one of the season so far.
Tied at 2, beginning the 13th. Now the pitch. Fly ball to right field. It's deep. It's on its way, and it is gone. A home run. Edwin Rios, a 2-run shot. And the Dodgers take a 4-2 lead.
That is Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio. Edwin Rios, a leadoff 2-run homer in the 13th. LA gets a 2-game sweep with a 4-2 win again in 13. The Mariners outscored the Angels 10-7. Kyle Seager, 3 RBI. including the tie-breaking sack fly top 7. The Twins blanked the Cardinals 3-0. The Tigers got by the Royals 5-4. On the flip side of things, on NL grass, San Francisco 7, Padres 6. The Braves cooled off the Rays 7-4. Tampa Bay had won 4 in a row. And the Reds outscored the Cubs 12-7. Nick Castellanos a grand slam in a 7-run fifth for Cincy. As we are about to discuss, the ACC wants to play an 11-game football schedule this fall. 10 league games, one outsider, and Notre Dame is all in. So much so the Irish even eligible for the conference title game. SEC presidents meet today, couldn't make their decision, although that is unlikely. Conference ADs said to be okay with a 10-game SEC-only schedule. And the Rutgers football program currently in the middle of a two-week shutdown with 15 players testing positive. NJ officials said yesterday they're blaming the outbreak, at least partially, on players attending an on-campus indoors party. The NBA's seeding games begin tonight. Zion Williamson's a game-time decision for the Pelicans against the Jazz. They tip at 6:30 Eastern at Disney World. The Lakers and Clippers follow. Anthony Davis expects to play after returning to practice yesterday after getting poked in the eye during a scrimmage game last week. Exhibition hockey yesterday, the Jets beat the Canucks 4-1. Winnipeg goalie Connor Hellebuck played the entire game, made 37 saves. That's of note because most teams have been playing both of their goalies in these tune-ups. And the MLS quarterfinals begin tonight at Disney. It's the Philadelphia Union and Sporting KC at 8 Eastern. Sean?
All right, Bo, so we just alluded to it a little bit ago, or you just alluded to in the update, and you've been mentioning it throughout the update. The ACC is going to attempt to play a college football season versus all ACC teams with, I guess, one exception, but it's got to be within an ACC state, and they got to be following the same protocols, and yada, 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 I had the lobster bisque. That's basically where the ACC's at with their schedule. Now, Notre Dame takes plays their basketball in the ACC, and certainly for football, they pseudo are in the ACC, though they're not eligible to play in the ACC title game before this year, and they, you know, they find a way to play most of their schedule versus ACC teams. But Notre Dame, because they seemingly are the only institution, Notre Dame football, that can't evolve or change over 100 years, they are still stuck in this mud of not being in a conference. And now, because they have to for 1 year, they will jump in and play that ACC schedule and be eligible for an ACC title game, but there's no commitment beyond this year. And I just want to start by saying this, Bogish. Shame on the ACC. And I understand that, you know, there's a lot of money involved when Notre Dame plays games and Notre Dame's on TV, and that's part of the reason you have them playing a lot of your teams anyway. I know Notre Dame is obviously a big draw. They have their own TV contract with NBC, but shame on the ACC. We finally had an opportunity. Was by sheer, I don't want to call it luck because it took a global pandemic and there's people dying, but, you know, sheer happenstance that Notre Dame was going to need to find a way to play in a conference if they wanted to be eligible for anything this year. And the ACC has completely let them off the hook for football-wise. For me, if I was the ACC, you know what? You want in Notre Dame? Then I want a commitment for you the next 5 years. You are an ACC team. You're eligible for the ACC title game. Enough of this nonsense like it's 1917 and you need to be independent just playing Army and Navy. No. You want in because you need in, then you're staying in. And I didn't get that commitment yesterday out of the ACC, and I find that to be terrible, folks. I'm so sick and tired of this. I'm so sick and tired of the committee being able to judge Notre Dame off not playing a conference championship game versus another big team in a conference, playing that one less game, but still, because they're Notre Dame and that stupid Fighting Irish logo, they get smacked right in the middle of a national championship game or a college football playoff, only to again have their asses handed to them like they do every single time in the last 10 years we see them on the big stage. Whether it's Clemson, whether it's Alabama, they don't belong on the same field, but when they want to puff out their chest and beat the heck out of Purdue on NBC on a September afternoon, we go, look how good Notre Dame is. No, that's over now. You want to play in the ACC this year because you need to play college football? There should be some kind of commitment. I don't need this nonsense anymore of Notre Dame in 2020 flexing their muscles and needed to be an independent. Life changes. life evolves. If we've learned anything in 2020, I hope it's that, you know, a lot of the thinkings and mindsets of the past, we need to evolve as a society. And I know it's a much lesser scale in society as Notre Dame football, but the idea that you need to be an independent brand is so nonsensical in the college football landscape now. Be in a damn conference, and you're showing that you can. You're showing your Irish colors that you can this year. Submit and play in a conference because it's good for the goose and good for the gander. But beyond this year, you're going to go back to being the stupid independent team? Ooh, we're like Army. We're like Navy. And even Navy is now in the AAC or wherever they've been. So stop it. I find this to be ridiculous. And if I was the ACC, this was the time to hold your ground and go, you want in this year? You better be in for the next 5 years, and we want you signed to that.
You're angry at the wrong group here, though. It's not the ACC. The ACC had to do this. They have to protect and cater to Notre Dame because of the things you said at the very beginning of all of that is that this is about money. The ACC needs those six games at least, which is what the contract normally calls for. They need those six football games with Notre Dame every year, even if it is Wake Forest or whomever going to South Bend and getting smacked across the face. They need those six. They've got to protect those six so they don't end up with zero because they picked a fight now with Notre Dame, and whenever the Irish can get out of this deal, they get out of it because they're angered by what happened now in 2020. The problem, the bigger thing is college football. The committee, that's who has to shun Notre Dame. That's the one that has to change the way Notre Dame goes about its business, and then you can be done with the ridiculousness of being independent in 2020 and moving forward. But as long as the committee continues to value the Irish the way that they exist now, nothing needs to change. Like, that, to me, that is where you need to point your finger, is at the bigger infrastructure to force Notre Dame to do something different. It's not the ACC. The ACC had to do this because they have to keep Notre Dame around. Plus, Notre Dame is, like you said, it's 99% an ACC member in most of its other sports. So there's no reason for the ACC to pick that fight. The change has to come from a much higher level to get you what you want.
Fine. Maybe the ACC has to, like you said, because they are at the forefront and they're the ones tied to it with the Stevie deal, and they're allowing them in for 1 year. That is where my problem lies. I would have said, well, screw you, you're out. But I understand your point. They want that deal after. Then from up above, it needs to happen. Because, Bogus, the proof is in the pudding. I understand that teams change every single year. And I understand that Notre Dame still pumps out a lot of NFL players. And I understand that they are the name brand. But we have now been there, done that. Every single time we buy into a great Notre Dame team, we don't have the validation of them playing in a conference championship game to see truly how good they are on that big stage. And then they come out, and whether it's a national championship game versus Alabama, where it's a college football playoff versus Clemson or whoever, they are non-competitive. You have all the Notre Dame fans calling sports radio all week, watch, this is our year, we've turned it around, yada, 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 again with the lobster bisque. And in the end, what do? They stink, and they spit the bit versus every big team. And you know what? I would love it, if Notre Dame does enough in a bad ACC outside of Clemson with divisions eliminated, and they get to go play Clemson and Trevor Lawrence, if football is being played here in the fall, and they go play him an ACC title game, and they lose like by 40 points, and we look at Notre Dame, and maybe the committee finally wakes up and realizes, oh, wait a minute, Notre Dame is basically Duke, because Duke could get to that spot versus Clemson and lose by 42, because that's what Notre Dame football is. And Notre Dame's people running it, and their athletic director, they know it as well as we all know it. Notre Dame is no better, truly, and I know they'll beat teams like Duke or Virginia, but that's who they're closer to in college football on the field than they are Alabama or Clemson or LSU. They are Virginia. They are Duke. That's who they belong with, and the fact because they're a name brand and we don't get that validation of them losing in a conference championship game, that they get that pass to the playoffs or a national title game is an utter and complete freaking joke. We finally have an opportunity for them to play in a conference. I hope college football gets played for no other reason than for Notre Dame to make this ACC title game, or maybe not even. Maybe Duke makes it over them, and they go play Clemson. Who knows? That would be even more embarrassing for Notre Dame. And then the committee could put this to rest and really push them and says, you want in on the playoff again? You better go play in a conference and go sign up with the ACC. The time is now, because I think this is completely letting Notre Dame off the hook that they get to jump in for 1 year and jump right back out.
Two things I'll say to that is, whatever happens this year can't change what happened in previous years. And I know that Notre Dame has let us down on a number of occasions I don't have a good enough memory to go back and right now at the top of my head remember their paths and who should have been and who should not have been. But I will say that I've always defended the result of the game. When we get to the game, doesn't necessarily mean that the choice of the two teams in the game was wrong. It just means on that day, the one team was better than the other. But getting it to now, if Notre Dame, whatever happens to Notre Dame this year, doesn't change that. And then moving forward, what happens now this year, Sean, if they can play Clemson twice this year? They're scheduled to play in South Bend, and that game existed before this agreement. That was already one of their games. Now they're playing, and now because they're eligible for the championship game, they could theoretically see them again. So they could be Clemson twice this year, the second time to win the ACC. Now, that then doesn't erase your entire argument. That doesn't then send them gleefully back to being an independent in the future. No. Because that wouldn't prove anything either. It just means that this year, that's the path they took to get to the finish line. I get your anger here. I think at times they're pompous and they're ignorant, and they should be. To me, they should be in the Big Ten. They should be in the Big Ten, and they should play Wisconsin That'd and Michigan perfect. And Michigan State every year. That's always made sense to me. I think they've kind of overstayed their welcome, and I do think that they get the benefit of the doubt unfairly still. But yeah. The ACC, to me, is not, again, the target here or in any way the bad guy in this. The bad guy is the whole college football machine that has let them kind of stay in this stratosphere.
I just think bottom line is this. As college football continues to get better, I think, with a college football playoff, and it could get even better with college football playoff expansion should they need that revenue following everything that's happened with the NCAA this year, I think ultimately we continue to lose as fans by not getting the proper measuring stick for Notre Dame out of their own egotistical way of running things, and seeing them be able to join a conference for 1 year and with no commitment past it, just, I'm sorry, it irks me. It irks the heck out of me.
Well, but the leagues that have conference championship games don't always get our default respect anyway. I mean, Clemson has for the longest time fought the stigma of being in a down ACC, and it doesn't matter what they do. I mean, as much frustration as Notre Dame has caused, I don't think that we by default have an incomplete picture of them because they're not playing an extra game. If they go 11-0 and they win by 3 touchdowns every game, and they do schedule obviously some good teams in there, we can know that they're good or not, whether they have to play somebody else, like whether they're playing the dredges of the ACC Coastal. I don't know how much that actually can change things in their defense.
Look, it matters for me. And take last year's Baylor team as a perfect example. If the Big 12 didn't have a conference championship game and people pounded the drum for Baylor to make sure they were in the college football playoff, I know that's not the name brand that Notre Dame is. We found out, okay, head-to-head, big spot, they lost to Oklahoma. And we were able to learn that thing. I just think when other teams and other schools, because if Notre Dame has one loss, but Clemson goes and for whatever reason has a really bad night versus Virginia Tech or whoever in an ACC title game, and they're out of the playoff because maybe they're not the same name brand, although that's kind of evolved now, as a Notre Dame, I just think that's bogus. You know, Notre Dame doesn't have that extra opportunity to lose another game, and that's not right. That's just not right.
Well, but they also, on the flip side, now maybe this is the problem, they don't have enough pressure on them to be good in the games that they have to play. Maybe because, again, my point is we still give them too much of a safety net, maybe. If we tighten that up and hold that one loss against them, then maybe that balances out the added risk the other schools have by playing the extra, sometimes unnecessary game.
Is Notre Dame being let off the hook by being able to join the ACC for 1 year and no commitment beyond? The tweets at Andrew Bogish, at Mraz CBS, phone number 855-212-4227. When we come back, your best audio of the day. It's Soundcheck. It's the DA Show next.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Jazz and Pelicans tipping off the NBA restart tonight. Zion Williamson back from his quarantine. Will he have a minutes restriction if he suits up tonight against Utah?
I can play the whole game. I'm just a hooper. Like, you know, I don't know nobody that's going to say, no, I can only play 10, 15 minutes. Nah, I'll play the whole game if I have to. I'm just a hooper.
Yeah, he better as one of the young guys in the NBA. And we'll get into this with Howard Beck, a Bleacher Report, next hour, Bogish. But the and you brought up the idea of Kawhi Leonard. If we've waited this long for the NBA and you have this eight-game reboot before the playoffs, if we're getting a lot of load management, I'm sorry, it's going to annoy me. It's going to tick me off. You're coming off all this time off. Go out there and play basketball.
Well, but you got to do. You got to be ready for the playoffs. So I think it's on the table. Is it likely? I don't know, but it's on the table, especially if we get, you know, to games 6, 7, and 8, that somebody gets a day off because things are locked in, or they, you know, they can't catch the guy in front of them. I think that's on the table, and I would do it if I was in those positions. I'm not getting Kawhi Leonard heard in a seeding game so that I don't have him for a playoff game coming up down the road. Nick Markakis, his return to the Braves, so significant. You're going to hear from him twice this morning. Here he is on deciding again to get back on the field after initially saying he was not going to play this season.
We all make mistakes. You know, I'm not saying it's a mistake, but I think it's a mistake. We thought about it as a family, and we talked about it, and you know, with all the safety protocols going on, you just got to be safe. And I'm going to go out here and try to win and help this team win as many ball games as we can.
So this is what I find really interesting, and we made a point, and we've hammered this home more than just today, that anybody who chooses to opt out of any of these leagues, I cannot fault them for it. It is however you feel about the virus. But, Bogus, as we know, when Nick Markakis opted out, it was as a result of talking to Freddie Freeman, who was fearing for his life with the fever. And since the baseball season has started, Freddie Freeman, who had that scary bout, has played, has looked awesome. The Braves look pretty good. And it just kind of feels like maybe Nick Markakis got really scared, which is totally understandable. And now he sees the guy that he talked to that led to him opting out, raking with the Braves and being just fine after having the virus. You can't tell me that didn't play a part in this for Markakis.
Yeah, somebody give Nick Markakis a hug. It's okay. I understand why he made his decision to begin with, and I understand why he might be having some regret here. Luckily for him and the Braves, he's allowed to come back. It's not a one-time only thing. Now, should he keep going home and coming back? No, I mean, this is it. Like, now you're back, but I feel bad that he feels bad that he made a mistake in his initial decision, because if I called my buddy Freddie Freeman and we were constantly being told that these guys are athletes, they'll be fine, and Freddie Freeman had 104 fever and was praying for his life, I would have stayed home too.
Yeah, and also, if I'm Major League Baseball, I don't know. I find a way to kind of make this a bigger talk topic. I don't know if that's a press release or something like this, because everybody has hounded Major League Baseball about shutting it down, as John Taffer would say, shut it down, after the whole Marlins situation. Here you have a guy who opted out of the season, who now, since this Marlins story, is opting back in the season. And that's something, if you're Major League Baseball and you're looking to spin the positive wheel, I think you should pump a little more time into. Zach Taylor, Bogus, Bengals head coach, says there's actually advantages to not having any preseason games this year?
There's a lot of advantages that we're finding right now. And just the way that we're going to be able to structure practices and create more scrimmage situations. You know, you consider in a preseason game, maybe Joe Burrow wouldn't have gotten to play with a couple guys that you're holding out or you don't give any reps to, whereas you can protect those guys in a scrimmage that you control a little bit better.
I understand what Zach Taylor's saying there, but it seems like he's just looking for positives, and here's all you need to know. We've watched enough seasons of Hard Knocks, Bogus, to know how these head coaches try to sell the heck out of their locker room how important these preseason games are. This is your life. This is how we judge who's on this 53. The coaches do it every season. We watch the Hard Knocks behind the scenes. Now I got Zach Taylor telling me, there's advantages. No, this is going to work out well. This is why preseason games aren't a big deal. All I'm asking from head coaches, just be consistent. Do you like them, or do you wish you didn't have them? Whatever you choose, that's fine with me, but be consistent.
Or give me a better argument for your initial statement, because the things he said, Sean, that are advantages, like Joe Burrow throwing to guys that he wouldn't throw to in a game, already exist before there were no preseason games.
Right.
He can throw to AJ Green all he wants during practice, whether there's a pandemic and a shutdown or not. It has nothing to do with the games or not the games. Get back to me after the train wreck that might be week one, when all of these teams who have seen nobody else except themselves get on the field and account. And if Joe Burrow's throwing three picks because he's facing an actually good secondary for the first time and tricky defense and competition, get back to me then about the advantages of no preseason games.
Yeah, and remember, last year was Matt Nagy, who didn't play any of his starters in the preseason, and already in March and April was talking about, no, that needs to change. These guys need to play preseason games. So it seems pretty evident to me that these head coaches who chose to try to go down this road already started regretting it. So, yes, I know preseason games can be very boring on TV, and I know they may not be everybody's cup of tea, but and maybe four is too many. But ultimately, you can't ever tell me that preseason games don't have some value to these head coaches, if not a lot of value. And I do think, as a result, we will get some very clunky football come September, and that is your soundcheck, Bogish. How many weeks do you think? Do you think the equivalency is we won't see good football until October by not having four preseason games?
I think it depends on the team. I think, you know, new head coaches, young quarterbacks, the struggles might be a little bit longer. I think other teams that have done this before might find a rhythm quicker. But I think September in general might be ugly at times.
NBA opening night awaits us. Are we about to see the best LeBron we will ever see and see again? Plus, Howard Beck will join us. Plus, your advanced analytics on Bogus looking to buy Utah Jazz shorts. Plus, an epic fail on Bogus's love for Joe Ingles. We have a bunch of NBA coming up in the final hour. It's the DA Show carrying on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.